Well, a physics professor at McGill University is hoping to make seasonal weather forecasts more accurate. Professor Sean Lovejoy is a physics professor at McGill, and he's looking at the impact of butterflies and other winged creatures to make long-range forecasts, and he recently published his findings in the Geophysical Research Letters Journal. Sean Lovejoy joins me in the Home Run studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So right now, I mean, so I'll tell you what I do when I have to put a forecast together for a show. I go to a couple of different websites and I see what the average is or who is the most accurate of them. Where do meteorologists currently draw their information?
Well, they take it from all kinds of sources. Mm-hmm. That means there are balloons, there's aircraft, ships,
radar?
Satellites, there's radar, and they have a system which enables them to put all together and smooth out problems and create what they call an analysis that they can then use to make their forecasts. But I think what you have to realize is that there's a very big difference between what we normally call a weather forecast, mm-hmm. which is something that more or less hangs together for 10 days if you're lucky, and the kind of thing that I'm talking about, which are longer term, say seasonal, 3-month, annual, or even several years, decadal possibly, forecasts.
So telling us whether or not we're going to have a rough winter ahead, how hot the summer is going to be, if we're going to have 2 days of fall or 2 months of fall.
Exactly, right. And it's really a rather different question. And what you were joking about, winged creatures, I mean, the butterfly effect is a kind of a metaphor for the fact that the atmosphere is incredibly unstable, so that even the flapping of the wings of a butterfly can give a little perturbation, and that perturbation can grow, become a bigger one and a bigger one. And actually, it takes somewhere like 10 days or so before it influences structures, you know, the size of the planet.
So that's what we mean when we're saying the butterfly effect.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's a source of randomness. It means that if we go, on the contrary, to, say, seasonal forecasts, we're actually talking about lots of weather events.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of randomness. And that's where something different can happen. Because normally the butterflies are kind of a limit to how well you can do. That's why normal weather forecasts are terrible after 10 days, even before that. I see you're laughing.
So
there,
I was looking at a 2-week forecast before I went on vacation.
Oh, yeah, that was very daring of you.
It was very wrong. So
absolutely. Well, I mean, the thing is, the way it's done now is the meteorologist will actually forecast, 6 months and 3 days from now at 9 a.m. in Montreal, there'll be a storm or something. And, of course, they know that's wrong. But what they're hoping is that if they accumulate the statistics of over 3 months or something of lots of storms, that they'll find that, it's been more stormy than usual or less stormy or hotter or warmer, hotter or cooler. But they're doing it in a kind of a brute force kind of way. And so what we tried to do is to try and take advantage of the fact that the butterflies, this metaphor for randomness, mm-hmm. is kind of nudging the temperature, say, a little bit up or a little bit down, okay? And it turns out what's amazing and what hasn't been realized up till now is that actually the atmosphere has an enormous memory. So the nudging that it got by all these random storms, even as far back as decades or centuries, that still affects us today. Of course, the effect gets weaker and weaker as you go into the past, but the past is a long time, so there's lots of stuff to accumulate. So,
okay.
So what we try and do is invert the process and work out what the nudges have been. And then by using, so we can do that to some extent, and then we figure out how to put it all together again to work out what the impact of those nudges is going to be in the future.
So that's looking at patterns as well as larger events?
Well, at the moment, the research that was just published actually is really for global scale. So we're averaging over, say, all of the Northern Hemisphere or the entire Earth.
Okay.
So that's what we just published, and that's stuff that, you know, is very well kind of established, if you like. But where this is all going is indeed regional forecasts, because people don't really care very much. Okay, next year the entire planet will be a little bit hotter or a little bit cooler than usual. Well, okay, that's not the sort of thing you're going to, be, you know, plan your vacation over.
Right. Or, but they do care if they're going to have to, if it's going to be a colder winter and they're
exactly.
going to have to pay more for their hydro bill.
Right. And Hydro-Québec, of course, is extremely interested in knowing whether they should expect a big drain on electricity this winter because of heating, and et cetera. So, and farmers care and... you know, reinsurance industry cares because there's extra storms, perhaps,
right.
and
the ski
damages.
Industry.
So there's lots of, well, there's, I could give you a list of different people potentially interested. At the moment, the thing is that these forecasts are so poor that it doesn't cross very many people's radar, right? I mean, like, you know, it's not as though every day you look and say, oh, yeah, the three-month forecast is for this or that. I mean,
right.
it's so bad. The farmers don't look at it much either because it's not... good enough. And we think that this methodology can give significant improvements. And, well, I wish I could tell you the results of all that now.
Well, I was going to ask you about how the prototype's working.
Well, up till now, we've got improvements, which are significant in the three-month seasonal period and annual forecasts. Now, of course, the trouble is that's only really meaningful if I, on the one hand, say, compare it to the GCMs, these big computer models that, that are used for doing the job. But also, you have to realize that the skill, if you like, depends a huge amount on, first of all, obviously, how far in the future you're going to forecast. So the further in the future, the worse everything gets. Everybody knows that.
Right, yeah.
That's not a surprise. But also, of course, if you try and make a forecast for a large area, then that's going to have a smaller error than if you do it for a small error, small area. Right, because you could imagine that there are going to be slightly warmer areas and slightly cooler areas on the Earth, and you average them all together.
So you're working with scale as well as time.
Scale is absolutely fundamental. And an interesting result that comes out of this is that if you take if you have a three-month seasonal forecast and you forecast it for one season ahead, three months ahead, the errors are exactly the same as if you had a one-year data set and you forecast that one year ahead.
Wow.
So that's the thing called scale invariance. And that's the principle that we have exploited, in fact, in order to be able to do this.
I think that's all the time we have, but I would love to talk about this more. I think weather is like a totally Canadian topic. Professor Sean Lovejoy, thanks so much for joining us and I appreciate your time.